Back around the time of the Rio Olympics, I read a book called The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown. Have any of you read that book? A few. More people have read that book than have been through the World Vision experience. We need to boost both of those numbers. Boys in the Boat tells the incredible story of a group of young men who rowed crew for the University of Washington in the 1930s. And then eventually went on, spoiler alert, to win the gold medal at the 1936 Berlin Olympic Games. Now, I have never rowed crew a day in my life. I think because the idea of getting up at 5 a.m. in order to squeeze myself into a tiny little rowing shell and freeze on a river doesn't sound like my idea of a good time. But I was perfectly willing to read about it from the comfort of my sofa. Now, as Brown tells it, this group of hardscrabble young men became, through these years, a remarkable team. They came together so perfectly as a team that they were repeatedly able to overwhelm teams and countries of much greater prestige and tradition. And one of the ways that they were able to be so remarkably successful was by finding what is known in the rowing world as swing. Swing is an idea that Brown says is nearly as hard to define as it is to experience. But he describes it in the book like this. Swing only happens when all eight oarsmen are rowing in such perfect unison that no single action by any one is out of sync with all the others. It's not just that their oars enter and leave the water at precisely the same moment. Each minute action, each subtle turning of the wrists must be mirrored exactly by every oarsman from one end of the boat to the other. Only then will it feel as though the boat is a part of each of them, moving along as though on its own. Swing is the sporting embodiment of a Bach concerto, with each note fit together perfectly to create a flawless overall composition. Swing happens when strong, capable individuals, rather than simply carrying on pulling with all of their strength and all of their might on their own, realize that they can reach their fullest potential only when they align their talent and their skill and their strength with those of the people around them. Those boys in the boat, they were incredibly strong alone. But they became gold medalists only when they became unified. Maybe the reason that this story, these young men finding their swing in a rowing shell, maybe the reason it stuck with me all these weeks and months is because it feels today like our society is more and more fragmented. We are constantly bickering with each other, hunkered down in the trenches of our own opinions and attitudes and ideologies. And rarely do we seek out meaningful interactions with people who are new or different. Most large American cities, including Dallas, certainly, remain geographically divided into distinct neighborhoods along racial and economic lines. And our legislators ensure that voting districts remain homogeneous politically. And then we go on to finish that work at home, that work of fragmentation, when we cleanse our Facebook feeds of people whose politics and ideas differ from ours. Older people fear that younger generations are isolated by their use of technology. And I often receive comments from grandparents who talk about the ways that their grandchildren always seem to be looking down at their screens. And meanwhile, older generations can all too easily become isolated within their homes or assisted living facilities by lack of transportation, by lack of communication. We live in 2016 with the world at our fingertips. Yet at the same time, we are as isolated and fragmented as ever. Now, this fragmentation helps explain two things. First, it explains why we all remember the moments after major catastrophic events like 9/11. Don't you remember that sensation in our country as it felt like we were all, for a time, coming together? It was remarkable. I get into conversations all the time in which people remember not only that catastrophe, but also the weeks and months afterward, when it felt like everyone was willing for a time to put aside their differences to work together for a change. Sebastian Younger writes about this phenomenon in a little book called Tribe, in which he tells story after story about societies that experience their strongest bonding together in times of their deepest trauma. Now, I believe, second of all, that this growing sense of isolation and fragmentation in the wider society can help us understand something fundamental about transfiguration. You see, fostering a sense of community, cultivating a sense of connection, is among the very highest priorities for this church. It's a testament to the fact that we all hunger for real relationship, a feeling that we truly belong. And in this place, in this community, just as David described, we feel that deep yearning, that deep need being met and satisfied. But here's the thing about our community. Unlike other groups to which people often belong, the Christian church is unique. If you look at other civic or secular organizations or groups, the reason they exist is because people within them have something particular in common. They are Republicans, or moms, or veterans. They are business owners, or they like to run marathons, or they enjoy raising Labrador puppies. If you look around at the world and the groups to which we belong, they are mostly about affinity. People cluster with other people who are like them. But the church is meant to be different. Our community is not created by our personal similarities. We don't strive to build our church around shared likes or personal tastes, which is why the glue that holds us together holds together our community. It isn't parish breakfasts or fellowship gatherings, as fun and important as those things are. No, our community exists because Christ holds us together. That's what Paul is talking about in his letter to the Corinthians, a chapter of which, the 12th chapter, we will hear for the next 3 weeks. For just as the body is one and has many members, he writes, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. What Paul is saying is that we feel like we belong because we belong to Jesus Christ. He draws us together into one whole, one community, one family. And although we bring together diverse talents and perspectives into this community, unlike in so many other parts of the world, so many other groups and organizations, our diversity of opinions and backgrounds and abilities does not then become a source of our fragmentation or our separation. Jesus takes each of us and draws us together and fits us into the bigger picture of what it is that he's creating. He is working all the time to heal and restore the whole face of the world, to restore and redeem all things. And here at Church of the Transfiguration, he is taking each one of us, and he's fitting us together into the unified whole he is creating. We are many pieces, But in Christ, we have a singular purpose, a singular mission. In Him, we are all held together. And in Him, though we are many, we become His one living body, the church. All of our differences and our unique characteristics as individuals then find their meaning, find their fulfillment and purpose when we allow ourselves to be fit together into this bigger picture, this bigger movement. Just like that crew team for the University of Washington, we do not reach our true God-given potential as people until we join our talents and abilities and resources together with those of others. That is fundamentally what the church is. The church is the rowing shell into which we all climb and pick up an oar. Now, we can row along at our own pace and rhythm, but our boat, it won't start swinging until we synchronize our effort and start aligning our poles with those of all the people around us. Taking inspiration from Paul's metaphor, the theme of our stewardship campaign this fall is many members, one body. Now, after church, if you haven't done so already, you are invited to stop by the tables in the gathering space and pick up your envelope with your name on it. And inside the envelope, you'll find this little piece of literature with some stories and some information. And as you open it, you will discover something special, something very particular. Each and every household in our church, every single member or family of Church of the Transfiguration will receive a unique, one-of-a-kind, in-the-world puzzle piece. This just so happens to be my family's puzzle piece. Now, these puzzle pieces were cut from an 8-foot-tall puzzle that we had custom-made. And that puzzle, that image, that 8-foot-tall image, is actually comprised of over 6,000 distinct, unique pictures that have been taken of our community here at Transfiguration over the last several years. Over these next several weeks, you are invited to bring your puzzle piece to church, along with your pledge of financial support, and fit your piece together into that enormous, unified image that we are going to create in the middle of the gathering space. Your piece matters so much that our picture will not and cannot be complete without it. We will not be able to fulfill that image, that puzzle. We will not be able to assemble it into its whole unless everyone takes part, which is exactly what life in the church is like. We are not what we are created to be. We cannot do what we have been created to do unless everyone who calls this church home allows their pieces to be fit together, joined into the whole. So I'm asking you to climb into this rowing shell with me. I'm asking you to join your unique talents and abilities and resources with mine and with everyone else who calls Transfiguration home. I'm asking you to share the fullness of your life, yes, including your money, with the rest of us so we can start swinging this boat. I'm asking you to allow Christ to join your peace together with mine, with all of ours, so that together we can become Christ's one body. And all of God's people said,